We're talking with Liz Moran, who, among other things, is one of the environmental directors at the New York Public Interest Research Group. One of the things NYPERG has become well known for over the years is their annual report before the holiday season about toys and what might be posing some challenges or risks for, you know, young children. So they recently released their 34th annual Trouble in Toyland report. So Liz, why did the PIRGs initially start this effort?
Yeah, so when parents are going shopping for their children or family members are shopping for the children in their family, they have the expectation that what's on the shelves is going to be safe for the babies and kids in their lives. But unfortunately, that isn't always the case. And NYPERG and the PIRGs began issuing these reports to show to the public what risks different toys that are on the shelves, that are available for purchase, could pose to their children, their homes. And when we first began issuing these reports, things were far worse. There were frequent instances of children ending up in the ER because of unsafe toys. And we've come a long way since then. However, there is still a lot more work that does need to be done.
Now, what are some of the common sense steps that any parent or any, you know, adult shopping, you know, for a child this holiday season can take when they begin to look at possible toys to buy for a loved one?
Yeah, so we have a category within our report called detectable hazards. So these are things parents can be on the lookout for. For example, choking hazards, a huge concern for young children. What parents can do when they're shopping for toys is check the toy to see, you know, how are the pieces breakable? Does it look like something could break easily and become a choking hazard? Then the other thing to look out for is to see, is the toy itself small enough to fit through a toilet paper roll? If it can fit through the hole of a toilet paper roll, there's a possibility it could be a choking hazard for a child. So that's one hazard parents should be on the lookout. Balloons, uninflated balloons are actually one of the number one choking hazards for children. The other type of hazard parents can look out for are noise hazards. Children's developing ears are far more sensitive to loud noises than ours are. And being exposed to excessively loud noise can damage a child's ears. So what a parent can do if they come across a toy that plays noise is they should put it next to their own ear. And if it's loud for them, it's likely too loud for their child.
Yeah, I remember.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just remember one year, Blair Horner, executive director of NYPERG, you know, particularly looked at some, you know, model plane taking off, and it's the noise was actually comparable to a real, you know, airplane taking off. That's how loud it was.
Yeah, these toys can be very loud. This year, we actually demonstrated a toy police car, and that was very loud. When we demonstrated that toy and were speaking to other people, we all had to elevate our voices significantly to be able to talk over the toy. And by comparison, a toy that's safer for children's ears, you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to yell over a toy.
Now, one of the other categories I noticed in from the report was a lot of times, or sometimes, it can be hidden toxics in some of these toys.
Yeah, exactly. So there are thousands of chemicals that are on the market that are unregulated. In fact, over 80,000 chemicals are on the market that are unregulated, and we don't even know whether or not they're safe for our health. But there are also chemicals we do know that can be hazardous to children, can be hazardous to public health, that are still used in products. For example, even though lead paint is banned, occasionally you will still find toys that have lead in them or cadmium. So unfortunately, these are the types of hazards that parents can do everything in their power to try to find detectable hazards, but it's not always easy to see or find out about dangerous chemicals in products.
And one of the things that is suggested in the report is that particularly parents should avoid purchasing toys that were manufactured before 2008, and also be very careful about, some of the smaller imported cheaper toys. What was the issue of the 2008? Why is that a key date?
You know, I'm not sure, but old toys, what parents should really be on the lookout for is to see if a toy was recalled for any particular reason. A lot of shoppers want to buy used goods, and understandably so, but they should make sure before they purchase a used product that it wasn't recalled for any particular reason. So there's websites that parents can use to determine whether or not a toy was recalled.
Now, you mentioned that the safety has improved with toys, you know, since NYPERG and other perks started this 34 years ago. But I know there are still issues, you know, related to, you know, safety for children and some products that continue to be debated in the legislature. Sometimes some things pass, sometimes it doesn't. Are there particular areas you guys are looking at in terms of increased oversight in terms of safety for children among products?
Yes. So so New York State could do a lot of good by adopting to law the Child Safe Products Act. This is a piece of legislation that finally passed in the state legislature. It's been around for a while, and it's common sense. It would make sure that the most toxic chemicals for children would not be able to be used in products and would create a process for eliminating other unsafe chemicals.
Now, you said, did that pass, but has the governor signed it, or what's the status of the legislation?
The legislation passed, and it currently awaits the governor's signature.
Okay. Well, speaking of the holiday season, what is Santa Cuomo going to come? Are there any particular gifts that you're hoping the governor, delivers for, the children and others in New York State this year?
Yes, absolutely. It's been a great year for the environment, and the governor should conclude it by giving New Yorkers the gift of ensuring our environment, health, water, and air is as clean and safe as possible. So the governor should sign into law the Child Safe Products Act. The governor should also sign into law legislation that would ban PFAS chemicals from being used in firefighting foam. And another piece of important legislation would ban the neurotoxin chlorpyrifos from being used as a pesticide. Those are just a few of a number of environmental bills that the governor should sign to close out this year.
And I understand there's also some environmental justice bill that was passed, but which also the bigger climate legislation, CLCPA, doesn't go into effect until this piece of other environmental justice legislation is signed. Any reason, do you know why the governor has been delaying on that?
You know, it's unclear, but there's really no reason for the delay. This is an important piece of legislation, not only for the implementation of the climate legislation, but on its own. We have to make sure as we move forward as a state to address climate change, to remediate contamination communities, the voices of environmental justice communities should be at the forefront of that decision making.
So we've been talking with Liz Moran, environmental director with the New York Public Interest Research Group. Liz, if people want to see a copy of this, the 34th annual Trouble in Toyland, is on your website someplace?
Yes, it is. They can go to NYPIRG.org to find a copy of the report.
Well, thank you, Liz Moran, for joining us here today at the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, and this has been Mark Dunlay.